So how does a case of the wintertime blues morph into something more serious, seasonal affective disorder, or SAD? Welcome to Hometown Alaska. I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. We're just 5 days away from the absolute bottom of the barrel, winter solstice on December 21. That means we're light-starved and energy-depleted. How does that look in a human? A tendency to consume massive amounts of carbohydrates, sluggish couch potato behavior, and a serious case of the lows. If you're there and have questions, we've got answers. With me in the studio are a psychiatrist, a SAD lights vendor, and a psychiatric nurse practitioner who works with college students. We've got you all covered. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this news from National Public Radio. Good afternoon, and it's a snowy afternoon in Anchorage, a good day to be sitting around listening to your radio. This is Hometown Alaska, and I'm your host, Kathleen McCoy. Our topic today is everything about seasonal affective disorder. This is a show for people who can't get out of bed in the morning, who want four pieces of pizza instead of two, who can't tackle the business of life because they are simply out of gas. How and why does it happen, and what can you do about it? Whether you're suffering or coping well, you can give us a call and tell us about it. If you're in Anchorage, it's 550-8433, and if it's statewide, it's 1-888-353-5752. And we can also take your emails at hometownalaska@kska.org. This program is going to air again tonight at 10 o'clock, so if you can't listen now or you want to catch all of it tonight, you can at 10. And I'm just so pleased to tell the audience that we've got three experts in the studio today to talk about seasonal affective disorder. We've got Dr. Aaron Wolf, a psychiatrist. Welcome, Dr. Wolf.
Very glad to be here.
And Georgia DeKaiser is a psychiatric nurse practitioner from UAA's Student Health and Counseling Center. Welcome, Georgia.
Thank you for having me.
And we have Joe Vernetti, who has been selling SAD lights at Lake Otis Pharmacy for years. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Lake Otis Pharmacy is an underwriter of KSKA. So let's get right to the topic. I wanted to sort of give people some definitions so they know what we're talking about. So, Dr. Wolf, why don't you just talk to us a little bit about what seasonal affective disorder is?
Well, you mentioned that lots of people think that they have winter blues. Seasonal affective disorder is a type of depression that was labeled about 20 years ago by several researchers at the National Institute of Health, one of them being Dr. Al Louie, who has been at Argonne Health Sciences in Portland and who did the original research here in Alaska. It's a subtype, and you were describing what it was, is that people have less energy in the winter. They crave carbohydrates in the winter. And then the more serious people actually feel a fairly significant depression on top of this lethargy that maybe all of us feel a little bit of.
Mm-hmm. Now, Georgia, you deal with the student population, and I was interested whether there were age differences in the way we experience SAD, and what can you tell us about that from your experience?
Well, you know, when I meet with students, I get to spend about an hour and a half initially with them, and I get to ask where they grew up and what was growing up like for them. And I talked to a fair number of students that grew up in Alaska and some that didn't. But, you know, it is interesting. Some students will say, you know, I was about 14 or 15, and I remember that winters were hard for me. And other students maybe will have a different experience and say, no, it didn't bother me till last semester. So I can't generalize.
Yeah, it's really hard to generalize, mm-hmm. Although one of the – you brought in an update from all the journals that talked about the age of 23 being a time when it can surface, mm-hmm. and also that the older we get, the less we might – be experiencing it. Does that sound true to you, Dr. Wolf?
Not really. Not really. I mean, I think lots of people have learned to put up with it or learned the coping mechanisms to modify it.
Yeah. One of the things I brought in for our guests today, just to say thanks for them coming in, was a chocolate bar. They immediately let me know that I was contributing to seasonal affective disorder, since sweets and carbohydrates are what we really, really crave.
We'll start snoring shortly.
Well, I can tell you nobody's actually bitten in yet, so maybe we'll be able to hang in here the whole time. One of the other things we talked about is actually that culturally, all cultures seem to recognize that this is a hard time of year. And you made the point that, every culture has a celebration.
Has a midwinter light festival.
Mm-hmm.
And I think so. That acknowledgement that solstice time was a time of dark and people needed the light, whether it's Christmas lights or Kwanzaa or Hanukkah, they were all light festivals mm-hmm. at or around solstice time.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, I wondered if people who come in, did they do their homework before they come in and see you about sad lights?
Some do and some do not. We get a lot of referrals from the doctors, and they say go to pharmacy and ask us, and we help them out the best we could. And if I have any questions, I call the docs and ask them exactly what we're dealing with, and I help the customer out.
Do you think that the talk of seasonal affective disorder is in the culture like an urban myth, and that people come in to see you just because they're not feeling so good and they've heard that word? And do they come in with just that minimum amount of information?
Some do. Mm-hmm. Some just come in and said they tell us that they just moved here, they heard about seasonal affective disorder, they need a light.
I'm telling you, I need a light.
I need a light.
I'm not walking out without one.
Well, I think you brought up something, Kathleen, earlier, is that it usually takes till at least the second winter so that they know that in that first winter, gee, was it moving here? Was it getting settled? No, I'm really different in the wintertime, and that I'm just not myself. And gee, last spring I felt better again.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's the seasonality of this that's really important in terms of understanding it. And the other thing we talked about is that SAD can overlay a depression from something else. So you really can have both. Mm-hmm. You can have an underlying depression that you may have had for many years mm-hmm. or that's intermittent. And then you can also have SAD when you move here to Alaska.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know that people would like to have information from this program. They want to feel better informed. And so we've been talking about the fact that there's lots of products out there. And what can we tell people to look for in a product and Joe, this is a good one for you. You know, they may not, you know, they might order off the web, or they may see things in big warehouse stores. How do they know, you know, that they're getting the right thing? Are there a couple of points we can give them?
10,000 lux is that key number. If it's not 10,000 lux, you're not going to get a quality light.
Mm-hmm.
And lux is the brightness of the light.
The intensity?
The intensity is mm-hmm. how it's measured.
Mm-hmm.
And buying offline, if you get a light offline, or you just go to a box store and get a light, you come to the pharmacy and look at our lights there. We could turn them on. You could sit in front of them. You could discuss it with whomever. Have someone come in with you and give you the good points and the bad points for the light. When you buy offline, it's really tough to understand how much light it's going to be
mm-hmm.
and how close you're supposed to be to it.
Right. One of the things I read said that people find it difficult maintaining their 30 minutes a day. They kind of get a honeymoon phase where they feel really great, but they sometimes drift away. And I wonder, do you see that happening with people who want to bring back the lights, or then they come back to you, doctor, and they say, this isn't working for me. You know, how good are they at the regimen?
Some people think it's going to work in just a few minutes. It's 15 to 45 minutes every day. The best time is in the morning. Every day, Monday through Sunday, it's important to get that light.
Mm-hmm.
We recommend what the doctors recommend, 15 to 45 minutes, and we can go from there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had mentioned the study with Argonne Health Sciences. We the clinic I was with then were part of a study, and for Anchorage, really, most people, it is 30 minutes. For Fairbanks, it actually was a little longer. Fairbanks and Juneau, it actually was a little longer for that. As Joe said, morning is best. You know, go fool Mother Nature, if you will, that dawn is happening. And people, there are now lights that are small enough, and I happen to be a purveyor and Joe sells lights that I'm the middleman for, that are small enough so that you can stick it in your pocket. And if you don't finish it at home, take it to work and put it on your desk.
Now, I read about those visors. You're not talking about visors.
No. These are just small lights.
And they have 10,000 lux?
They do.
So you're getting what you need?
You're getting what you need. And you don't need to stare at it either. And you need to look up at it every 30 seconds during that period. So you can drink your morning coffee or whatever it is that you drink. You can read the newspaper, you can listen to KSK, whatever you'd like to do, you're not just sitting there staring for 30 minutes.
I wondered about what people can do. Okay, lights is one thing. There's medication. There's also cognitive therapy. Let's talk about the range of treatment.
Sure. Well, at the university, there's no charge for the service. Students have to be taking 6 credits to be eligible for our service, and we have about 8,000 students who are in that situation. And we have 10 light boxes that we loan out to students, and frequently we get phone calls, receive calls where a student will say, I heard you have a light box, I'd like to use one, and then we ask them to come in and visit with us a bit and do the screenings. And I would say that the great majority of the time it's a bigger, broader picture of some type of depression or something else that's going on. We always do a lot of screening for drug and alcohol use. And, you know, I'm always talking to college students about their sleep-wake schedule, which, as you can imagine, is
erratic.
Pretty erratic. But, you know, I always say something like, boring is really better with this. You know, if you can go to bed at the same time and get up at the same time, which is a challenging thing for college students. But, the modalities, we lay them out. You know, there is therapy, there's medications, there's light therapy, and then there's a combination. And I ask students, after I talk about the risks and benefits of each, what do they think would be a good fit for them? Mm-hmm. But I can tell you that our 10 boxes are all checked out, and that the students do seem to appreciate them because if they're available, they can rent them out for another month. So.
Do you see them when they're going into finals? Do you see a sudden, or is it just, is it more in the fall as the light's going away that people start to feel the agitation?
Yeah.
How does it present, or is there a uniform presentation?
Well, I would build on what Dr. Wolf addressed when we were off air. I see it mid-October for people who have experienced it in the past, they're aware of it. Mm-hmm. For people who maybe are new to Alaska, they're not quite so proactive. Would you agree, Dr.
Oh, absolutely. I think my recommendation for the folks who really know that they have it is that when we drop below 12 hours, which is September 21st, that they start using their light box then.
Mm-hmm. So even though they feel fine.
So that they get ahead of the curve with that. And it's really, really important. As I said, this can overlay other depression. One should not stop taking one's antidepressant if one was taking it for other reasons. The latest research on SAD is that it's a circadian rhythm kind of problem, and that just like we have jet lag for the same reason, that this it's really important, and that some people's circadian rhythms get upset more than the rest of us. Some of us really aren't bothered by this very much, and we were talking beforehand that some people have so little of it, they get bothered, if you will, by the lights. Georgia was saying some of the students come by her demonstrations and go, oh, ugh.
They're almost sent away from
that. They're almost sent away from it. But so if you're on medication or you think you do, you need to go to your own family doc or a psychiatrist or a nurse practitioner. So that helps. If you're in counseling for other things and really deal with the anxiety, cognitive behavioral therapy, whatever kind, are real helpful, along with sort of the things you do for SAD, which include getting out, getting in the sunlight, not eating too much chocolate, and all those things.
The things we love. Yeah.
Things we love.
I wondered if you could exercise your way out of seasonal affective disorder. Is it possible? Do you think that exercise is a big
26 hours a day at the club?
Yeah, something wrong there.
I think exercise is a wonderful thing. I don't
But
know.
Should it be outdoors? I mean, if you're exercising at the club, is that maybe not giving you the same benefit as if you take a walk on the coastal trail?
If you can get out in the middle of the day in any kind of light, whether it's skiing, walking, ice skating, walking your dog, whatever, it is really good, you know. And also, and just the regular thing with exercise is getting your pulse rate up to aerobic activity is really important for any depression. So, yes, it helps with this one as well.
But light is what affects circadian rhythms, not exercise.
That's correct. But you are producing endorphins by the exercise. And so doing it outside is better than inside. Doing it inside is better than nothing.
Right. So, as you said, it's a spectrum. You know, some people have a little bit of it. Some people have a lot. Well, if you can do a little something toward it, you know, that's going to be better than maybe if you can't afford the lights yet or something, you can get outside and you know, walk and ski or walk and dog.
I think one of the things that Joe said about the lights, though, is that you need to make sure that you're buying one that's effective. When as a middleman, I actually distribute lights to Joe, I distribute data. Now, I also have a website, but I don't have that data on the website. Talking to somebody who knows about 10,000 lux, who knows the time you need to use it to meet with them, and there are a couple of vendors as well as Joe here in Anchorage, but knowing that is really important, and not just seeing the first one. It may or may not be one that will
buying on a whim. I just want to remind our listeners that we're talking about seasonal affective disorder, and we have three fabulous guests here that you might have questions for. We have Georgia DeKaiser, a psychiatric nurse practitioner from UAA's Health Center. We have Joe Vernetti from Lake Otis Pharmacy, who's spent years looking at and dealing with lights and light systems. And we have Dr. Aaron Wolf, who's a psychiatrist. Our numbers are 550-8433 and 1-888-353-5752. And you can also send an email, hometownalaska@kska.org. So I would like to talk a little bit about melatonin, because some people think they can you know, mess with their melatonin and affect this. I mean, I know that sunlight affects melatonin, and what's happening when we get sleepy is that we have a lot more melatonin in our system. What about that? I mean, is it dangerous to mess with that?
Well, it's not dangerous to mess with that, but you probably don't want to take a whole lot more melatonin. You're already too sleepy.
You're going to be staying in bed all day long.
Right.
But serotonin is a neurotransmitter, so let's talk a little. Some of these language, the words that are around this, I sort of want people to be comfortable with them. Mm-hmm. So what's serotonin?
It's a neurotransmitter that is in the synapses of the neurons, which communicate with each other. And we know that during times of stress, the serotonin and other neurotransmitters can become depleted. There is some thought that serotonin is depleted in seasonal affective disorder.
Mm-hmm. But that's not even, I mean, as I read the studies, you can find one study that says one thing and another study that says another.
Right.
So it's really sort of, you know, we need to give people some broad guidelines.
Well, however, and Georgia was talking about this in one of the more recent studies, is the sort of basic antidepressants which mediate serotonin activity have not been effective. They really haven't. The one or two antidepressants that have been most effective are not serotonin-based.
Really?
Yeah.
Can you name them?
The one that's probably been most effective of the antidepressants with this, not as effective as lights, but having some effect, is Wellbutrin or bupropion. And that's not a serotonin-based thing. And Prozac and Celexa and Lexapro and all those have not been as effective with SAD. Now, if you're on them for other things because you have a long-term depression, it may be helping deal with that, and you should stay on them. But they will not affect this overlay for SAD.
Interesting. I think when we were talking about... Oh, did you want to jump in?
No, I would just concur. I'm just nodding my head.
Okay.
Yes.
That when I first talked to you about coming on the show and talking, you said that often you'll think about lights first and see how someone does with that and move on to, you know, that there's a spectrum even of treatment. And could you
right.
talk a little bit about that?
If someone calls and even over the phone, they say, you know, I'm fine in the summer and I garden till 11 and I do this and that. And boy, the last 2 years in October, you know, I get logy and I gain my 15 pounds whether I need to or not, and I lose it every spring, and I don't have as much oomph, and I really struggle to go, even if I have enough money, to go get Christmas stuff for my family and get to the post office and all of that. I'll ask them whether they have considered getting a light. You know, because they'll tell me in that initial even telephone conversation is they're fine in the summer. They're mm-hmm. perky and they're fine and they lose the weight and the depression goes away as though it were just the dark cloud on their shoulders and it doesn't come back till October 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Try the lights first.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes.
I wanted to comment, too, on something that Joe said about how people new to Alaska will come right to the store and want a light. You know, there is evidence that people who were perhaps raised in a more sunful climate are more susceptible to seasonal affective disorder. And I have seen that with the college students. We have about 1,200 college students who are from out of state, and they seem to be more susceptible.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We did, during the break, talk a little bit about how often lifelong Alaskans and Alaska Native people sometimes do not present with these symptoms, right, Doctor?
That's correct. Well, and not only Alaskans, but Scandinavians as well. I mean, people raised in this for hundreds of years, thousands of years, seem to have significantly less. I mean, a lot of our initial population here in Anchorage were folks who came from Minnesota and before that Norway, Sweden, and Denmark. There's very little of it in that population.
Interesting.
As opposed to folks who have moved here from Texas and Oklahoma and
California
and Florida. And
Arizona, yeah.
Yeah, and they've never faced this. And
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, it isn't the snow, it isn't the cold. We may not like that as well, but we can't take the darks. Somebody said, you know, you have this, and this was for a woman who was at home when they started cooking dinner at 1:30 in the afternoon.
Uh-oh. All right. Well, we actually have a question from Marilyn who's wanting our experts to address this, and it is, what other symptoms besides depression might come to the surface for seasonal affective disorder? You know, we've been talking a lot about depression, but could there be mania? Could there be other things that surface and that are actually indicative of seasonal affective disorder?
Interestingly, a study done in Fairbanks showed that people who have SAD in Fairbanks and north of there get a little manic in the summer. You're prone to it both ways.
So a mirror situation.
But, you know, the carbo craving, the fatigue, the sort of, if you will, blah ennui, if you will, and one of the things that Georgia has on this little card she passed out is reduce your alcohol intake because, again, alcohol's got the carbs, but it also has that, and more sleep. I mean, it's like you're the bear and you're crawling into the den, so you want to go to sleep at 4 o'clock. So a real loginess, sleepiness, 10 hours, 12 hours, 14 hours of sleep, and it isn't enough, is another symptom.
So, folks, if you're sleeping that long, you're going to want to call us and talk about it.
if they're awake by now.
Well, it is. It's after 2. We hope so. 550-8433 in Anchorage and 1-888-353-5752. I'm in the studio with Dr. Aaron Wolf, Joe Vergnetti, who's from Lake Otis Pharmacy, and Georgia DeKaiser, who is a psychiatric nurse practitioner from UAA's Health Center. And we're just talking about all the things about seasonal affective disorder, which we're all sort of experiencing a lot. I know I am going to a winter solstice party on Saturday that is going to involve a very big bonfire out in somebody's backyard, and I'm really looking forward to that. It's almost a ritual. You know, mm-hmm. and that I know it's going to make me feel good mm-hmm. just to do this. So I would like to talk a little bit about, we're going to take a break in a moment, but I'd like to have you thinking about food, because when I told folks I was going to do this program, I did have people asking me, well, what can I eat? And, of course, there's a lot to say about carbohydrates. So we'll talk about that when we come back. This is Kathleen McCoy, and we're on Hometown Alaska. Welcome back, everybody. We're on Hometown Alaska, and we're talking about seasonal affective disorder. We have Dr. Aaron Wolf, a psychiatrist. We have Joe Vergnetti, who's an expert on lights. And we have Georgia DeKaiser with us, a nurse practitioner from UAA. And we have a caller, so let's hear what Matt is calling us about. Hello, Matt.
Hello there. I'm calling in regards to, during this period of time, a lot of people crave carbs, but I was calling to talk about the effects of just really dialing in your nutrition during this period of time and the effect that could have.
Well, we wanted to talk about that. We were going to come back and talk about that a little bit now. Who wants to jump in there?
Well, I think that's a great, great question. I like to ask students about those patterns and if their appetites have changed, if they have gained weight or lost weight. But more so, I want to ask them about when they felt their best and kind of take that apart a little bit more. I think people do know themselves really well and know what foods make them feel good, and I try to bring them back to that. But self-care is really a big part of this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really, and I like Matt's question, but I think it's more what we shouldn't eat. you're gonna crave the carbs and the chocolate and the alcohol and things like that. So I think if you're putting yourself by late fall on a really healthy food plan with salads and the food triangle and the pyramid and whatever, and you get carb cravings, have a plan to deal with that, you know, because it'll feel like comfort food and you'll just want the mashed potatoes.
Go there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Ronald is online and he's got a question about Starr syndrome. Hi, Ronald.
Hi. I was just drawing an analogy to the complex that you're talking about, that there's too many stars out during the winter. that might influence people. But I was just wondering, do they have this complex in New Jersey?
They do.
Oh, so it wouldn't be a good idea to just buy a ticket and go to New Jersey, would it? No.
I sell lights. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I've always found Alaska to be more a state of mind than a location, than a physical location. And frankly, I couldn't love it up here more. Been here 25 years. I wish I'd have come up earlier. But perhaps I can help you with one of the one of my anonymous poems.
You're going to help us with seasonal affective disorder?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. All right. You're familiar with the little French ditty of a bottle of wine, a loaf of bread, and dal.
Sure.
And for the evening, right? Well, mine, my Alaska poem is 900 bottles of wine, 5,500 loaves of bread, and dal, and you can go home in as May.
I think that would be the effect of all.
That's right.
That might be a distraction that would be worth considering. I mean, what's wrong with Alaska winter and stars? I just don't understand. I love it here.
Well, good. It sounds like you're coping with sad pretty well.
Yeah. No, it indeed is very lovable here, and I think Joe is correct. And very interesting that a lot of the research was done at National Institute of Health, which is suburban Washington, and Portland. And there is probably percentage-wise as much SAD in cloudy Portland as there is here in Anchorage.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of funny to think about that, but yeah.
I think it's just a matter of somebody being dissatisfied with where they are or perhaps what they're doing. It has nothing to do with where you are, if you like where you are.
What do you think, Georgia?
Well, I guess I would certainly, I have seen exceptions to that, and I certainly wouldn't recommend the alcohol to my college students. I guess that's what I would
say.
Well,
but you did speak to the idea that there could be underlying issues, and maybe he's suggesting that too,
sure.
You know?
Sure.
Geography isn't always a cure.
Right,
I've heard that
right,
before.
Right.
You know?
But I recently had a colleague who married somebody from the Northwest, but when they came up here, his new spouse loved it here, mm-hmm. loved the family, loved their house. This would have been her third or fourth winter, and she could not, her circadian rhythms simply couldn't take it. Even with a light box, it didn't quite do the trick. So there are some people where it's very severe, where it is circadian rhythm, where it is biological, as much as they would love to stay.
Even someone who loved it here.
Here.
Well, thank you, Ron.
I want to be home with my family. It sounds like a family complex. I want to be home with my family. My family's not here.
Right, right.
I think I don't believe there is such a syndrome. I think it's just a matter of people just, for whatever reason, not liking where they are. If they don't like it in New Jersey, it's a syndrome there. If they don't like it here, it's a syndrome here. They just need to find out a little bit more about what they like and where they like to be. And
mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Ron.
Get in touch with themselves.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in.
Good holiday. Good
thanks. You too.
Yeah, I wish it was that simple. We are all affected by it to some degree. As I was pointing out, we don't tend our indoor plants at 11 the way we do our outdoor plants in the middle of the summer. We all are affected in some ways by jet lag, some more, some less. And there are a significant number of people where this is a really very serious mm-hmm. issue. There's some people where it's helpful to get it treated, but they go on with their lives. So you know, there may be that some people are homesick, but it's also a very real thing.
Right. I wonder, I didn't think to call over to the bases, but they definitely have lots of families coming up from everywhere. And I wonder, you know, what their experience is over there. Do you have any contacts over there, Dr. Wolf?
I initially came up on the base many years ago, and it is difficult, but lots of people on the base know they're here for 2 or 3 years, mm-hmm. and so the idea is to just get through it.
Tough it mm-hmm. out.
Tough it mm-hmm. out. Or nowadays, with a significant number of the active duty members being deployed, the issue is getting through it, and they may have it, but that's not where many folks on the base are focusing.
Right. They're thinking about their
other
loved one
things,
who's overseas,
yeah.
and they're, yeah, this is just part of getting through that. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Joe, we talked about what were the typical questions people came in with. What were they?
Is this going to work for me?
That's right. That was right. And what do you typically tell them?
The first thing I tell them is to rent. Instead of buying a box, rent a box. It's $60 a month. If it doesn't work, bring it back. If it works, you could continue renting it until it's yours. After 6 months, it's yours.
Or it could get you through that winter, and then you'd have it for next winter.
You'd have it for next winter.
Uh-huh.
And forever.
Yeah. Tim's on the line. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Tim. Here. Thanks for taking my call. Last week, you know, on the other call-in show, they were talking about vitamin D, and apparently, since we live so far north, really there's no way to get enough sunlight in the winter to get enough vitamin D, and they were advocating, you know, taking vitamin D pharmaceutically, or at least...
There's certainly lots of talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, well, what do you... There's an old rumor that you could stare at the sun and get enough vitamin D. Does anyone know if that's just crazy or not?
Well, we'll tackle that one.
Thank you.
Georgia.
Well, it's a great question. You know, at our clinic at the university, it's an integrated physical and mental health clinic. And so more recently, I have been asking students about having a vitamin D level drawn if they're interested in that, and I tell them why that might be helpful. And more students are doing that, and I'm pretty amazed at how low those vitamin D levels are. And that information, then once we have that, we can move forward with recommending supplements and then draw it again in January or February. And, you know, we know that vitamin D, yes, is metabolized. We need sunshine to start that process in our bodies. But I can't address, you know, staring at the sun exactly if that's going to help. But we know that the sunlight is important for vitamin D metabolism.
We do have a specialist at the pharmacy, our vitamin specialist, and he recommends vitamin D anywhere between 400 and 10,000 units a day. I take 5,000 units a day now, and there is 50,000 units by prescription, and it works very well. We have a lot of people using that and having good success with it.
I listened to that. It was Thad Woodard who had that program on it. And if folks are interested in it, you can find it on KSKA.org under Line 1, Your Health Connection. It's still there. I listened to it last night. And he was definitely talking sort of building up your stores. And he did talk a lot about that you don't have to worry about overdosing on vitamin D where you could with some other fat-soluble vitamins. So I would if people are interested in that, I would definitely recommend going to KSKA.org, Line 1, Your Health Connection, and Thad Woodard's.
Yeah, I heard Thad's show last week.
Yeah,
too.
He was on the phone with an expert from Boston, I think.
Right.
So I did think it would be kind of interesting to talk about alternative therapies because I did see there was mention of St. John's Wort, things like that. Does that surface in your practices?
Mm-hmm. It does.
And what's your advice on that?
Well, I think the evidence shows that St. John's Wort does work. It has neurotransmitter properties. When I have somebody on that and they're interested in a trial of an antidepressant, they have to go off it before we can start that trial. And there should be a 2-week gap
to clear it from the system.
Kind of a washout. So you know, I think that it has some science behind it. Mm-hmm. That one particularly. Yeah. I can't speak to other ones.
Once again, the St. John's Wort and the alternative therapies may be somewhat effective for traditional depression. But again, this is another animal, and so this is the missing of light and not the missing of some of the things that you have in the more traditional depressions.
Mm-hmm. Another one I heard mentioned was ion therapy. Does anybody know about that?
I don't.
No.
I don't, and does not sound like there's great science for that, but we don't know.
But, you know, we did talk about the carbohydrates and why we want them so much, because they give us that sort of artificial boost. It gives us an energy boost, which we're lacking. That's why we want to go there. But what else can we do besides that, you know?
Well, the activity in replacing
I'm
that.
Thinking about food, though, specifically. Like, you know, the people say, well, if you eat an apple a day, you know. Well, are there – it sounds to me like it's more a sort of an approach to food that's healthy anyway as opposed to just for seasonal affective disorder.
Absolutely. But I think if you look at it that if we were a brown bear – we would want to pack on the carbos because we would go in our den. Packing on those 15 or 20 pounds is essential. And so we need to get through the winter, and then we need to go frolic outside of our caves. So in terms of metabolism, we're not doing very different from the other four-legged creatures or the four-legged creatures out there in our environment.
Mm-hmm. But we don't actually go to sleep.
We do go to sleep too much. Those who have it,
yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, are these northern climes supposed to be wonderfully habitable for everybody?
Mm-hmm. Maybe we're finding some people less habitable.
That's right.
One of the things I read that I thought was interesting was, and I think I mentioned it in one of our breaks, is folks in Iceland don't seem to present much with seasonal affective disorder, despite the fact that they're very far north. And they don't know why. Like so many reasons, there's suppositions, there's ideas. But one was that they eat a lot of fish. And omega-3 does seem to be something that's generally a good thing for depression even, right?
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And so this being a form of depression, eating some salmon might not be a better...
Well, you know, I've done a fair amount of consulting in northern and rural Alaska, and among the folks who live there, who have lived there their whole lives and many generations, you see less of it. And so you have fish and seal oil, and their diet, till very recently, has been very different. And perhaps with the fish, the omega-3s is very positive for dealing with this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know my daughter went to a semester in Denmark, and the culture there in the winter had a real emphasis on coziness. They even mm-hmm. have a word for it. They actually, as a culture, we talked about this a little bit, turn inward, have friends over, have meals, have candlelight, and they have a word for it. I'm going to mispronounce it. Maybe somebody out there knows it. I think it's like hygge or something mm-hmm. like that. And restaurants will pride themselves in having that kind of environment in the winter. I mean, they just really embrace this idea that we're gonna deal with this in a very public way, which I think is great. You know, oftentimes depression isn't something we're very out there about. Mm-hmm. You know. So I'm trying to think, what other topics can we cover that will help people really deal with this? We've talked about exercise. We've talked about food. Socializing. Sleep. Okay.
Sleep.
Let's talk a little bit about sleep.
We talked a little bit about, and I was just reading this on George's little card here, having a regular sleep schedule so that if you, in the summer, go to sleep at 11, go to sleep at 11. Don't go to sleep at 8. And set your alarm for whenever. I mean, even if you're retired or have an otherwise flexible schedule. Try to maintain a schedule. Now, the other thing about lights, we talked about doing lights in the morning. Lots of people in Anchorage and Alaska work shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Do it in your morning when you wake up.
Okay.
So if you're working 4 to 11, whenever it is you wake up around noon, then use it. Or mm-hmm. if you're on the graveyard shift and you wake up at 10 at night, that's when you should use it.
Mm-hmm.
So that it's your morning as you get your day started.
I wanted to ask about those dawn simulators, because that's another thing that you hear about, and I hear people say, I have one of those and I think it's working. Help me with that. What, is that a circadian rhythm setter there, or what do we know about that?
It works with our eyes. You know, we wake up in the morning with our alarm. It's dark out. How the dawn simulators work is you set it for 15 minutes all the way up to 120 minutes, and you feel that light generating in your room like a nice sunrise on a typical place in the lower 48 where we have a nice sunrise. Up here, we don't. And it works very nice. We have a couple of them at the pharmacy. I use one every so often, and it works so nice. If you're facing the wall, it's a very nice, you feel that light hit mm-hmm. the opposite wall, and it's a much better wake up.
It's gentle. It sounds
nice,
like it's gentle.
It's a nice, gentle wake up.
I know I have a flashlight because I can't stand to turn on a light that early. And my husband's still sleeping, so I'm trying to figure out how to, you know. And I've often thought I would love to have a dawn simulator just as a nice, gentle way to wake up. The flashlight works pretty well for me, too. I mean, it's a gentle light, you know. Let's see.
One of the other things we talked about earlier was exercise. And at least for me, I find I need to do my exercise first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. which is never any problem in the summer. But in the winter, and I run, first of all, I have to dress like the Michelin Man, you know, 7,000 layers, and then put on a light so that my dog and I don't run into a moose. But I'm always so glad when I force myself to do it. And at this time of year, and I'm certainly not the only one, forcing myself out the door, and then it's worth it because we're going to do it every day. And when you come in, you're really feeling better with it. So whatever your exercise schedule, whether it's swimming at lunchtime or cross-country skiing at after work in the lighted trail, a schedule of doing that is really important at this time of year.
Put it in your schedule.
Put it in.
Don't do it when you feel
follow,
like it.
And follow that schedule.
Yeah.
Get up 15 minutes early, 20 minutes early.
Mm-hmm. And do it.
Yeah.
And to add to that, you know, I often ask the college students, what do they do for fun? And I don't mean big time fun. I mean little pieces of fun during the day. And, you know, it's just, it's real interesting to hear what they say. And, you know, they are all such hard workers. And I think that school becomes, you know, a job. And then oftentimes they have a job and oftentimes they have relationships. But often, sometimes the student will say, you know, I really like to paint. And so I ask them if they can, you know, squeeze in some painting. So some of the things that they connect with, if they can add those things back into their life, and I think that's helpful too. In addition to the food and
what
exercise.
About saunas? Are saunas at all helpful? that's really dealing with.
Is
the
that
cold.
You, Kathleen?
Well, I think so. I think that I like going outside and exercising and being warm. After you get out there for a while, you get warm and it feels really good. Mm-hmm. But another thing I like when it's really, really cold is to warm up my bones in the sauna. Mm-hmm. I don't think that does anything for seasonal affective disorder.
But I think it does something for your self-care.
Yeah, it is a definite self-care. I was thinking about socializing because sometimes people withdraw, right? Mm-hmm. And the same thing that keeps you from getting out on the trail in the morning might keep you from sort of joining, going into the book club, like you know they're all going to be there, or maybe having somebody over for dinner. Or, you know, that social aspect, how much of that is part of this?
Mm-hmm. You know, I like Dr. Wolf's metaphor to the bear. because sometimes students, college students, will say, I think I'm doing fine, but my friends are telling me that I'm more irritable. And so I think, you know, socializing requires energy. And if people don't have that amount of energy that's typical for them, they start to just, you know, save their resources a little bit. And yet most of us, you know, we do a little bit better when we connect. We're made to connect. And so I think that's important. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah. One of the things we talked about, and anecdotally, this you hear it from so many people, is, boy, am I glad that I was able to get out of here for 3 days, 5 days. And, you know, and we talked about it isn't only Hawaii or Cabo. If you've got a business trip to Seattle and the sun happens to be shining or you know, Boise or wherever, it's really important. And it's more than just the break. It's lighter in all of those places.
You did talk about Fairbanks sometimes having sunnier winters than we do and sometimes them faring a little better than we do. So you could go north.
You could go north, yes.
If they're having sunny weather.
Well, it's sunny and the reflection. Fairbanks pretty much always has snow. And so their days are actually, even though they're shorter, they're brighter.
Mm-hmm. So that's interesting. So, you know, even if you don't have a ticket to Cabo, you might be able to drive to Fairbanks if the weather's
good. You could
good.
Drive to Fairbanks.
Yeah. You know, something I thought we should mention was that maybe we did, and tell me if we did, but some people get agitated from the lights. We did talk a little bit about your students, you know, backing off from those lights, but there can be other things, like even nausea, I heard. You can. Does any of this surface in your experience?
No.
Haven't had it. Well, that's good.
What I've seen is people, when I'm at the different shows, they come around the corner and I have my lights on, and some people just come over and they're in front of it, and I feel better. I feel great. Well, I'm not going to argue with them. And then I get some people that come around the corner and they just give me a bad look. They turn their head, and I said, those lights are too bright.
Oh, wow. Wow. That's interesting.
To each his own, but...
Maybe irritation is a symptom.
It could be. It could be.
Yeah. Well, we talked diet. We talked, you know, there could be other underlying issues that people, that the darkness adds to the trauma for them a little bit. And they could have both a depression and they could have seasonal affective disorder.
They certainly could have both.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when people feel bad, is that a good barometer or can people be trusted in their feelings? In other words, if they're feeling blue, could they be... you know, wimps, like our caller was suggesting.
No, but pardon me, but I think something Georgia said is that the folks around you lots of times notice this first, whether it's the other students in a college environment or your spouse or your kids, you know, why are you yelling at me? I mean, so the irritability really is a symptom of low-grade depression.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not see it in yourself, but or you might. Why did I yell at them now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And that idea that, well, if you hear that in yourself, maybe you think about what is it that would be the reverse? What would make me feel better? What mm-hmm. can I do that I know makes me feel better? You know?
Yes.
Some self-care.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
I oftentimes ask students to scale their mood on a 1 to 10 best scale, and maybe they'll say, I'm a 6. I've been a 6 over the past week. And I say, well, if you were a 7, what would be different? You know, and that kind of opens up that window, too, because they know them. You know, I think we all know ourselves the best, really. But that ability to imagine a little bit, I think, opens up some possibilities.
Imagine. I like that. Mm-hmm. I also think most people face that thing, Dr. Wolf, of I should get up, I should get the dog, I should get out the door, but they sometimes can't do it. Yeah. And I had a friend who said, if I can do anything for 2 weeks, it's a habit, and then I don't even think about it anymore. So that mm-hmm. maybe it won't be as hard all winter. You know, if you sort of start it and stick with it, it won't be so bad, even if it feels really bad those first 2 weeks. What do you think?
Well, no, I think you do need to get into it, but it is more difficult in this kind of dark to get yourself motivated, which is why it needs to be part of your routine.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that the coffee pot you turned on as you walked out the door, it'll be done.
It's your reward when you get back. What about caffeine? Can we overdo the caffeine? We can overdo the carbs to give ourselves a lift. What about the caffeine to give ourselves a lift? I noticed that Anchorage has more corner drive-up coffee things than any place I've ever visited. So, I mean, well, what do you think about that?
Yes, I do. I would have to say that I am going to stop for a coffee on the way back to the health center. But, coffee contributes to anxiety. And, you know, if we're drinking too much coffee, we can have problems there. And also it can disrupt the sleep. So it can be a problem. I think all things in moderation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love mine too much to give it up, but I try to just do one in the morning and that's it.
Yeah.
I don't do any in the afternoon.
Yeah.
I have a question for the group. What's your thought about depression in southern climates, like maybe people who live in a warm climate who aren't able to get out during the day to exercise?
I have a customer. She's called 2 or 3 times to order more lights from San Diego.
Wow.
They get the marine layer in the morning.
That's true. I lived in San Diego.
That's true.
Yeah.
You know, and one of the things we talked about, and Joe sort of liked this, but to steal a tagline from another industry, I think it's really important, you know, if you don't know your lights, know your light box vendor.
That's right. Well, listen, and we're going to wind up here, and I'm going to thank our wonderful guests. We had Dr. Aaron Wolf, a psychiatrist, Joe Vernetti, who deals in satellites and knows a lot about them, and Georgia DeKaiser, who works a lot with young people at the university at their student health center. And I'm going to invite you all just to give one little bit of advice, and it'll be really short. So how about you, Georgia? One little piece of advice.
Well, for all the college students who are on break right now, I hope they have a great holiday.
All right. Well, that's great. We're going to have to leave it there, folks.
Alaska is a production of Alaska Public Telecommunications Incorporated News and Public Media. An archived copy of today's program, additional information, and links to all the websites mentioned on today's show are available online at kska.org. Send us your comments and suggestions of things you'd like to talk about at Hometown Alaska, 3877 University Drive, Anchorage, Alaska, 99508. This is KSKA Anchorage.